One of the things that makes Christmas Christmas is the music. I'm sure you'll agree with me. The incredible hymns and carols that we sing during the Christmas season. But what would happen if somebody tried to rewrite the Christmas carols to make them politically correct? I'm not sure where that might go. You might end up with Frosty the Snow Person. I'm not sure how you're going to make that rhyme. Or how about this? Chestnuts roasting on a safely contained, continuously monitored, eco-friendly, non-toxic outdoor fire, for which I do have a permit. Or how about this one? Grandma allegedly got run over by an unidentified non-human perpetrator. Or how about this one? I think this might be my favorite. I saw Mommy greeting Santa Claus with a purely platonic expression of inoffensive mutual affection. So here about 3 weeks ago, on December 2nd on a Wednesday, our kids over his place at our program that we call His Kids were getting ready to celebrate Christmas. It was the Christmas program. Now, for those of you who don't know, we have a program here during the school year. Children who come to his place after school, 1 week it's first and second graders, the next week it's third, fourth, and fifth graders. We call this His Kids. And so it was the first and second graders' His Kids program. Now, I wanted to observe the program, but I had an appointment right before. And so I finished my appointment over here in my office, and then I made my way over across the parking lot. And I didn't want to walk in the middle, knowing that it had already started. So I walked around to the far end of his place, and I came in quietly through the far door, and I made my way in through the family room and to a door coming in on the side of the gymnasium. I opened the door, and sure enough, it had already started. But I noticed that there were some shepherds who were seated on a bench over here in a corner, and I thought, okay, the shepherds have already finished their part, because I don't want to be obtrusive and I don't want to make, you know, noise or whatever. I'll just sit down quietly behind the shepherds. I knew I was in trouble when my wife, who was the moderator of the program, announced the part of the shepherds. And right then, the spotlight came onto the shepherds in the corner, and there we were. Three shepherds and one dork. Now, I've been thinking about this for a while since then, and it occurs to me that being with the shepherds might not be such a bad thing. The shepherds are interesting participants in the story of Jesus. If you stop and think about it, they're really remarkable. They really don't seem to belong here. If you go back and study the stories of the births of great people in history, for example, the sons who were born to Caesar, to the Roman emperor, and you study all of the rigmarole that went around the birth of the new son of Caesar, you would find that all the dignitaries and important people from all across the land came to pay their praise to the newborn son of the king. But that is not the case in the birth of Jesus, and that is extraordinary. You see, the shepherds are the ones who received the message of the angel. It was to them that the angel came and said, "Don't be afraid, for I come to bring you tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I hope you heard that. The message of the angel is that the one who's to be born is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You can't come up with three more important titles than these: Savior, Christ, Lord. Even Emperor pales in comparison with the titles that are given to the one who is born in Bethlehem on this particular day. And those to whom this message is announced are the shepherds. Here's why this is so extraordinary. Did you know that shepherds weren't even allowed to go into the temple or into a synagogue for worship unless they first went through an elaborate rite of cleansing. Because shepherds, because of the kind of work that they did with their hands, shepherds were regarded as ritually impure in their world. Just to go to worship, they would have to go through an extraordinary process of cleansing in order to be present among God's people on a day of worship. It is to these that the angel comes. Shepherds are, to put it kindly, not members of the upper class. They're not members of the middle class. They are people at the margins of the world at the time of Jesus, and it is to them that the message comes. Don't be afraid, for unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The first people, according to the Gospel of Luke, to respond to the extraordinary news of the birth of Jesus were these shepherds. I love this because the shepherds are the common people. The shepherds are the people who are reputed to be insignificant. And I love this because it means that all of us can probably relate to the shepherds. By the way, the message that is given to the shepherds is that a sign has been given to them this day. And when the Bible uses the language of a sign is given to signify something, it usually means something really, really big. Here's the sign that is given to these shepherds. A child will be born. They will find a child who's been wrapped in swaddling cloths. These are not the nice blankets that most of us have had the opportunity to put around our children. These are little rags that had been torn into strips and then they were wrapped around the small children. This was not something that was done with the upper class. This was something that was done among the poor. The sign will be, you will find a child who is wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And set aside for a moment all of the images of the manger that you have in your mind, the images that come on the front of Christmas cards. This is a feeding trough from which the animals would have been eating. This is the sign for the shepherds. They will find a babe wrapped in rags and lying in a manger. I love that the message comes to shepherds because it says that the message comes to the common folks. This is not something for the dignitaries. This is not something for the hoity-toity. This is for something for people who have stumbled in their lives and fallen. This is for something for people who have failed. This is something for people who may not be anything significant in the eyes of others and maybe not even significant in their own. It's remarkable how consistent this story is with the rest of the ministry of Jesus. If you follow the ministry of Jesus, you find that many of the people who are attracted to him are not the elite, not the established, not the extraordinary. The people that are drawn to Jesus are the everyday folks, the folks who have failed. The people that are drawn to Jesus are the tax collectors and the sinners and the folks who have made messes of their lives, because in him they will find the hope and the courage and the love and the future for which they're longing. I say all of this tonight because I want to say that Christmas is for all of us. Christmas is for people who are longing for forgiveness, because this is the good news of Jesus. Jesus is the one who comes to bring the forgiveness that grants brand new starts to people who have failed miserably. Whatever you may have done in the last year, this is a great place to be for new beginnings. The gift of forgiveness that washes whiter than snow. This is what Jesus brings. What Jesus brings throughout his life is transformation of people's lives. And if you're longing to be different, to go a different path than the one you're longing to, that you've been walking on, I want to say to you, you're in the right place tonight. You've come to the right one, because this is what Jesus does extraordinarily. He takes people who are walking in the wrong direction, and what is required of them is willingness to go a different way, and he grants to them power, courage to go a different path. If you've come here tonight longing for meaning, I want to tell you that through all the ages, millions of people have discovered new meaning and purpose for their lives in the following of Jesus. If you come tonight as a regular, ordinary person with great need, I want to say to you, you, like the shepherds, have come to the right place. Now, there's a hymn that we're going to sing here in just a moment, a beautiful, beautiful hymn. It happens to be my favorite Christmas hymn. In fact, I might go out on a limb and say this is my favorite hymn of all hymns ever. It's called O Holy Night. Now, there's a story behind this hymn. The story goes something like this. This hymn was originally written by two French men, a composer and a lyricist, who put together this beautiful, beautiful song that many of us know and have sung for many, many years. When it was first sung in churches in France, it was received very warmly by congregations. But actually, the church itself became nervous about this song because it is such a revolutionary song. You'll notice when we sing the words of this song very carefully, you'll notice what a revolutionary song this is. It was some years later when an American musician by the name of John Sullivan Dwight, he was an editor of music. He had a journal, and he edited music. This song came across his desk, and he found it so beautiful and compelling that he translated it into English, and that is how it is passed down to us today. But here's what I want you to know about this song. This song became an extraordinarily important song to people who were working against slavery in the United States, people who were longing for abolition, people who were longing for freedom. You'll notice as we sing these songs again, why this song became so important to people who were longing for freedom like us. So it is my privilege at this time to take this candle and light it to the Christ candle. And some candle lighters are going to come up here and join me. I'm going to light their candle, and then they're going to bring their candles back to you. And in the same way that the shepherds left Bethlehem and went out to tell the good news to everyone that they could, this is our opportunity to spread the light of good news of Christ throughout this entire building this evening.
Slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression. please stand?
I'm so grateful that you, each and every one of you, have made a priority of being here for worship here on Christmas Eve. I want to offer the closing benediction now, and as I draw toward the close, I'm going to say the